Sie hören Sport und Musik.
Das Spiel ist aus! Deutschland ist Weltmeister!
Mario Götze! Mario Götze! Tonight, whether you call it football, football, or soccer, a German-American and a German in America dare to call it Fußball. German Fußball from an American point of view. Let's add some buns to that hamburger and join them for the Schnitzel Boys Deutschland Hour!
Yeah!
Yeah! Hello! It's my birthday.
Today's your birthday? Happy birthday.
Today's my birthday. Thank you very much.
Oh, I didn't know it landed on a Monday this year. Happy birthday.
It did. It did. And here we are. I ate a lot of pie. Have eaten a lot of cake and pie.
Excellent. We're here with you. If you need to take a pie break, go for it. So you had cake and pie today?
Well, I guess they're all pies technically, although there's some French silk pie. I guess it was very puddingy. Then there was a strawberry covered with chocolate pie, also very chocolatey.
Amazing.
And then there was a strawberry rhubarb crisp.
Ooh.
That was not really a pie. It was more of a crumble. It had like oats and it was a gluten-free. I'm a big rhubarb person. My rhabarber in Deutsch. My grandfather had rhubarb in his garden, and so we ate a lot of rhubarb growing up, which I didn't realize how unusual that was until later in my life. And so there was always rhubarb pancakes and rhubarb jam, and it's a very sort of specific taste. Here in America, people think that it's too tart, and so they team it up with sweeter things like strawberries or whatever. But anyway, what are you watching?
Are you familiar with the German viral sensation? Oh, sorry, I guess my audio is a little off. Hold on. Are you familiar with the German audio sensation? How do I switch this? Give me a quick second. Sound settings.
The German viral sensation?
About rhubarb that came out 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I'm unfamiliar.
This is a perfect timing.
For you to tell me about it. Very good.
Interrupt you, that's right.
Es war einmal in einem kleinen Städtchen, da lebte ein Mädchen namens Barbara. Und diese Barbara war im ganzen Land für ihren abartig guten Rhabarberkuchen bekannt. Ja, man konnte sagen, dass Barbaras Rhabarberkuchen ohne Wenn und Aber gar eine geradezu magische Erfahrung war. Abracadabra! Ja, dieser Kuchen war geradezu bombastisch. Und die Nachfrage danach erstarkte drastisch. Barbara eröffnete noch im selben Jahr eine Bar und nannte sie Barbaras Rhabarberbar.
You haven't heard that?
I have not. I love
isn't
it.
Isn't it amazing?
What's so good?
Sure. Let's do the whole thing.
In der Stadt gab es auch ein paar Barbaren, die hatten von Barbaras Rhabarberbar erfahren. Und da sie fortan jeden Tag bei Barbara waren, nannte man sie bald die Rhabarberbarbaren. In den Folgejahren ließen die Barbaren nach und nach ihr barbarisches Gebaren fahren. Sie waren, behauptete Barbara, fast noch sympathischer als Barbarpapa. Aber die Barbaren waren stark behaart und hatten alle einen struppigen Barbarenbart. Ja, nicht apart. Daraufhin schickte Barbara ihre Barbarenfreunde zum Barbarenbartbarbier. Der frisierte den Barbaren sogar den ganzen Kopf in seinem Barbarenbartbarbier. Barbershop, er war zwar ein fürchterlicher Laberkopf, aber der Bart war danach total tipptopp. Darauf luden die Barbaren ihren Bartbarbier fein nach getaner Arbeit noch in die Rhabarberbar ein. Da tranken sie dann gemeinsam an der Bar noch ein Bier, die Rhabarberbarbaren und der Bartbarbier. Und aßen dazu bar jeder Barbarei ein Stück Rhabarberkuchen. Ich glaube, es waren zwei. Ja, da wurden sogar ganz harte Männer nahbar. Und das alles dank Barbaras Rhabarber. Drei Barbaren und der Bartbarbier saßen eines Abends an der Bar bei einem Bier. Da kam die Polizei, ja, wo wart denn ihr? Drei Barbaren und der Bartbarbier.
I mean,
there you go. There
you
go.
That is good stuff. That's good stuff. Barbara
Happy
und
birthday.
Rhabarberba. Thank you.
Happy birthday. That's for you. That's for you.
Thank you very much.
That, as the German viral sensation's been going around, you can find that song linked up. I learned it because someone sent me a video of a ginger cat making a rhubarb pie to the song.
Ah, Barbaras Rhabarberba.
Yeah. Genau. Yeah, but that's like the German version of like a tongue twister. They got barbarians and rhubarb and
Barbaren und Barber und Barbaras Rhabarberbar.
I mean, it's going to be a German tongue twister from years to come. I can just feel it.
What is with that guy's shirt, though? That's weird.
What did it say?
The shiny. No, just the shiny.
Oh, the shiny. He's fancy. Yeah, this is fancy. From Bodo Vodka featuring Marty Fisher.
Do we know these people? Nope.
They're known for being an online song sensation. It has 4.2 million views since December.
I will listen to it again. I thought that was good.
Just put a German rhubarb song, enter, and you got so many options.
Wow.
Because it's one of those songs that people now use in TikTok and Instagram, you know? Where they do different songs to it and stuff. Like, there's like the Barbara Dance Challenge, which people are dancing to it. No, it's good. So there you go. Perfect.
It's the content is out there.
So these pies, your family went to Cake Store and bought 3 different pies? Is that what happened?
I just went. Well, there's a woman in Brooklyn, Miss American Pie, she calls herself.
Ooh.
She just her store just closed. I think the store was too much for her, so now she just makes these pies, and you have to pre-order them, and then you have to meet her at a predetermined location and pick them up. And so, you know, there's now the scarcity because the shop no longer exists. So I felt like I had to order 3. Even though that was clearly at least 1 too many, perhaps 2. But it was hard to decide when you have French silk. I mean, the rhubarb, the rhabarba, that was a given. Like, that's, you know, because it's the season. That's a seasonal thing. That's only around my birthday is anything rhubarb available here. So that was a must. But then the sort of the chocolate varieties, I couldn't decide which one. And so I got them both. But you know, everybody in my family is sort of, conscious of not eating too many sweets. So it's going to, we'll see how it goes. But they're delicious.
Last week, my nephew made me a dump cake for my birthday.
A what cake? It was your birthday last week. That's right. That's Happy birthday.
Thank you, fellow Taurus.
We are two Tauri. We are so different in so many ways, but that's the thing we have in common. We're the fellow Taurus.
Yeah, we're hard-headed and set in our ways.
A little stubborn.
A little stubborn. I'm proud of my stubbornness.
Perhaps.
No, I didn't get much of a cake, but then my nephew surprised me with a dump cake.
What is that?
And what a dump cake is, my nephew is in Scouts. So a dump cake is built to be dumped into a gas... What are they called? Gas cooker? And the ones you take out in the woods with you? You know? It's like... and my nephew is in Scouts. He's the chef or whatever it's called. Oh. Everyone has a role in Scouts. And my nephew's role is to design the menu, which includes breakfast, lunch, and dessert or whatever. And he has to get all the equipment and materials necessary. And when they go off in the woods, he's in charge of the food. And a dump cake is a dessert. It's a dessert built to dump a bunch of stuff. And it was delicious. Like, my sister and me ate it in less than a day, the whole thing.
I went on a backpacking trip into the Grand Canyon, and the guide made a cherry cheesecake on his little Bunsen burner that I still think about.
It was probably very similar. This was pineapple, cherry, and like vanilla or something, which was very good. Tasted like, it was very good. Yeah. It was like moist. But it was built for mixing, matching the materials and to solidify on that little gas burner.
Very good.
Probably just like your guy. So it was very cool. So, but you know, also I have to have a German extra credit assignment for my German class. Mm. And I'm thinking of going down to that German bakery down in South LA to get a couple slices of Kuchen, maybe a Marzipan Kuchen for me.
Ooh, I don't like marzipan.
Zachertorte, something like that. Mm. Some real German.
There's no rhubarb in LA, I bet, right? Too hot?
When I go to pie places, there's usually a rhubarb pie, but have I researched it here in LA? No.
There was in Bochum back when I lived, you know, back when I lived in Bochum near the Ruhrstadion in my college days, there was a bakery really just down the street from the stadium. Bäckerei Lingemann, and they made a rhubarb shortcake that I think about still.
Do you think they're still there? Do you think they're still there?
I don't know. I have not been there in many, many years. Actually, when I was there a couple, I didn't look. I don't know.
Well, happy birthday. Love the pie. My thing is when I go up in the neck of the woods where my folks are from, we go to Niederecke. They have a few different spots up there. Nita Eka's the marzipan company, kind of like Hershey's is. It's like a small regional candy company. And they have these mega cafes. There's a couple of them around. And they have just a long list of just the best cakes. And you get a slice. And it's just like, oh, to die for. So we just go every now and then, try a different slice.
Good stuff.
Good stuff. Good. But clutching about Nosh. That was like a
clutching about Nosh.
But I don't have my drops.
Clutching about Nosh. Well,
oh,
I
wait
have
a
another...
Hold on. They're on you the got thing it? Here. No, they're on the thing here, right? Hold on. That was just another segment of
Clutching about Nosh.
Das ist Ketchup.
Kinderüberraschung erfüllt drei Wünsche auf einmal.
Nutella, der Morgen macht den Tag.
Haribo macht Kinder froh.
Und Erwachsene ebenso.
Ich bin ja echt Fan von Bier und Bratwurst.
What was that? It was like, Leute, das ist Ketchup. Or whatever the heck that guy said.
I just got a a new bottle of the curry ketchup from Amazon. I had run out.
That's something I pick up on my supply run down the German grocery store. Definitely.
Oh, very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's a lot to talk about, other than food items, which obviously are an important subject, especially when there's a birthday involved. But I guess chronologically, we should talk about the Champions League. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a couple of big items. The first big item is Europe. Second big item is relegation. And I guess the third big item is we had
Euros.
A clue to the Euro squad.
The Euro squad. Nico, the headline is Nico Schlotterbeck is back.
And then
Champions
Pavlovic.
League, Champions League finalist Nico Schlotterbeck. I guess when you hold PSG scoreless for two full games, you get to be taken seriously as a defender.
Yeah, I mean, they handled PSG handily, right? That was we didn't give them credit.
I mean, okay.
Okay, they hit the post 20 times.
Anytime.
I guess that's true.
XG was 22 or something. I mean, handily, I think Dortmund were very good and also very lucky. And both of those both of those things can be true at the same time.
Well, Jadon Sancho and Kylian Mbappe, Jadon Sancho showed up. Good Mbappe is riding out the wave, man. Well, he's not really in it this year.
He's out of there. He just announced he's leaving. And he's not saying where he's going, except everybody knows, Real Madrid.
That's right. Bayern München is where he's going.
Yeah.
Now Real Madrid, and then here's the question. Does Real Madrid need a Kylian Mbappe?
Anybody could use him. What do you mean? Like, why? Him and Vinny Jr. would be lethal up top. What are you talking about?
Vinny Jr., I guess we're talking... Let me skip. I don't want to skip ahead. So Borussia Dortmund... I mean, you're right, of course. But let's say if Real Madrid wins the Champions League, and they win a treble this year. Technically, doesn't that mean their squad is strong enough for all their ambitions?
Yeah, but it's always... I mean, you know, there's never any...
Shirt sales.
You never stand still. And this was like, I mean, this has been years in the making. This whole Mbappe to Real Madrid situation has been brewing for a long time. This sort of transcends their, it's beyond like, what do they need immediately? Or it's like, you know, he's going to define.
It's part of the story.
It's going to define that club. I mean, presumably, who knows? I guess, you know, what his deal is long term.
Shouldn't this Barcelona need someone like Kylian Mbappe right now?
I mean, they're all kind of strapped for cash, but like Barcelona is just a mystery in that regard. It's hard to know how they're going to. I mean, they need a coach first. They are going to start from scratch.
Well, either way. Borussia Dortmund at PSG and Bayern München Real Madrid. Borussia Dortmund went to Paris and they did it. They achieved their goals and they got to the Champions League final. Good for them. Mats Hummels with a great goal.
I mean, another notch in his already sizable belt. I mean, what a career, Mats Hummels. I mean, I wrote him off like a year and a half ago. I was like, that guy's washed.
Yeah, and I agreed with you. I think I was in the same boat. But the dude's been around. He's a vet, and he's not ready to say die. He was there for his team, and he was a big-game player in a big-game moment, and he did it. So good for him.
Yeah.
Jadon Sancho played like no tomorrow.
Played very well, yeah.
The Borussia Dortmund youngsters were there.
people were, somebody was tweeting, I forget who it was saying how Jadon Sancho did not apologize to Erik ten Hag and is now in the Champions League final instead of losing to Crystal Palace 4-0.
True, strong-willed man, sticking to his guns, and I like it. But Borussia Dortmund did it. They're in the finale, and you know, there's some criticism. Maybe the one of the worst teams to make a final in a while. And
meanwhile,
and stuff like that. I think, but they're there. They earned it. There's a German team in both finals. Technically, two German clubs could bring home both Euro titles, and none of them are called Bayern München
this year,
which will be fun. But Bayern München, they failed their assignment in Madrid.
I mean. Looking, I mean, they were close though.
What was the big talking point, Bjorn?
Oh, the referee at the end.
Referee. Yeah, I mean, we're talking referees for a week now.
You want to get into that? I mean, it's like I think. Yeah, I mean, everybody. Well, do you want to? Should we recap it? What happened was,
Real Madrid knows, but yeah, everybody so we knows. No one knows. All right.
Well, I guess I'm just my take on it is it was not a game altering thing. That's my take on it. I mean, the referee clearly made a mistake and apologized for it, but he clearly blew the whistle ahead of time, and De Ligt was probably not offside, but he also probably would not have scored if the
we don't know that. You're speculating.
I mean, he was not in a great position. There were two defenders ahead of him who clearly all stopped, and the goalie who all stopped playing once the whistle was blown. So my take on the situation is that he is unlikely to score that if the referee does not blow the whistle. Now,
having said that, that is still
definitely speculative, but it's like, but to say like, oh, we got a goal disallowed, that's not correct. Like, he would not have, you know, we don't know that he would have scored that. And my take is that he wouldn't have. There were two defenders who were clearly kind of backed off once the whistle was blown, and the whistle was blown early, and he clearly shouldn't have done that. Because, you know, so many times referees let like obvious offsides go just in case. And in this case, not only was the offside not obvious, it was also the attacking phase. I guess the linesman thought
you're forgetting a big thing here.
What's the big thing?
That just previously Real Madrid did the same thing with their goal, and they had what was supposed to happen. The ref didn't whistle and the flag was down for them, right. So they got their goal for them to check, and the go ahead goal was a thumbs up, even though maybe. Mm-hmm. And then Bayern Munich came back. And the same officiating squad did not give them the same courtesy. Flag went up when it shouldn't have gone up. Whistle was whistled, which should not have been whistled.
Right, that's
so
true.
So it was identically, they were identically mirrored each other. One team got the courtesy of correct refereeing. Bayern Munich got the courtesy of bad refereeing. That's the conversation, is why in the Champions League semifinal are these guys unabreast of the rules? Why? What's this brain fart all about? Where'd that brain fart come from?
Well, he
the biggest
that
game in the world at the on
because
the
because the defender got a header on it. He thought that the attacking phase was over, but then it fell to Thomas Müller. No, I mean,
you're
I understand.
Tight, you keep your flag down, and if you
I
do
understand,
keep your flag up,
yeah,
the ref,
I understand
the
frustration.
The ref has to finish the play, then they can check it on VAR. It's the whole point of VAR. For crying out loud, VAR ain't new. We've had it for
and
a while
we,
now.
No, I don't disagree with you. And there is... you know, and so many times they let things run when it's obvious that it's, you know, and then you get kind of then on the flip side of it, you're like, well, this is like injury risk and whatever. So yeah, no, this was bad, and I guess the referee apologized. Thomas Tuchel was not into that. I mean, he said he did accept his apology, but he also clearly was like, this is just not good enough. And I mean, yeah, that's true. That should not have happened.
The Champions League
My whole point is, if you say, oh, if they don't do that, then the game goes into overtime. I don't think so. That I don't agree. I don't think that's true.
Yeah, but I don't disagree with that either. But that's not the talk here. The talk is it should have never been put in that situation in the first place. That's the
right.
talk.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you said it's not game altering. I mean, it could have. We don't know if that was going to be the equalizing goal or not. We
right.
don't know.
I mean, that's my
So it did change.
That's
the
my
game.
Take. That's my take on it. That's my official ruling.
But with all that being said, as annoying as that is, Real Madrid were the stronger team of the two. Vini Jr. for 20 minutes was unhaltbar. Unhandleable. Coming on that left.
Yeah, Kimmich really
Kimmich
struggled.
Kimmich was smoked. So they had to switch him with De Ligt, I think, to help out over there. Pretty much it was just Bayern Munich trying to adjust for Real Madrid. And Real Madrid, they had that experience. They also had a little luck on their side. But they made their way to the final. And, you know, I don't think Real Madrid's march to the final is undeserved. I think they earned it.
I mean, how can you... Yeah, I guess.
And with Borussia Dortmund...
Tired of the mystique, but fair enough. Yeah.
The mystique of what? So you're saying Bayern Munich should have got through?
No, I don't. I'm not saying they were the better team, really, but like, you know, it's
you don't think
it's,
so?
It was small margins. It's like, no, Bayern were not. I don't think. I mean, like, they were 10 minutes away, and Manuel Neuer kind of spills that ball that you really don't expect. When it came his way, and I thought, oh, he's got this, and then he didn't. And
what immediately came to my mind when that happened, Bjorn? What immediately came to my mind? What came in all German fans' minds?
Oli Kahn and the World Cup
2002
final,
yeah. Ronaldo.
Yeah.
The spill, the 2002, and then also letting two goals at the end. The 99 PTSD. A lot of PTSD just showed up again when Manuel Neuer spilled that ball.
It's just in these games, it's like such small margins. And then, you know, but then of course the pundits and Thierry Henry, everybody goes on to these rants about the mystique of Rome. It's like, all right, yeah, they you can't argue with it because obviously they have an incredible track record but you know, this could have gone the other way. Like it turned on a couple plays.
It was very tight, but in the first game, Kim dropped the ball, right? They had a couple big ones.
Kim was bad. De Ligt was a huge upgrade. And I thought he did well even coming out in the first half to help with Vinny Jr. No, Kimmich did not do well, but he needed a little more help. Yeah.
So I just named two players to drop the ball, like one, like two. Can you name any Real Madrid players to drop the ball as well?
I mean, the Vinny Jr., all those times that Vinny Jr. smoked Kimmich, nothing came of it, really. On the other hand, is a counter argument. They didn't score.
Yeah, but that's not him failing just because he didn't do the best thing in the universe five times.
Yeah, but it's like that was not the thing that you're saying was the big that didn't lead to anything.
But what I'm saying is small margins, but I can pinpoint Bayern's failures through their players. I can't pinpoint Real Madrid's failures through their players. Does that make sense? That's why I feel of the two legs, Real Madrid were the stronger team over the two. So they deservedly got through. That's my analysis. Right? Hashtag analysis. You know, you can't look at Real Madrid and be like, oh, Nacho or Rudiger was or Toni Kroos failed. They didn't fail. They were all there. They were doing it.
I mean, Toni Kroos had a lot less room this time. He was – I thought they adjusted well. I thought the midfield was good. I thought Pavlovic had a real... if he didn't, he was, you know, off injured when the equalizer happened, unfortunately. But he had like a breakout game in that game. And so, yeah, I don't know. I thought it was interesting. I thought there was a lot of... there were a lot of good adjustments. Licht was a big upgrade.
I have another bone to pick with you about that game, Bjorn.
Okay.
You texted me 10 minutes before the end of the game, and you're like, and you think Tuchel sucks. He's about to three Champions League finals in 3 years or whatever it is you said.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
Well, they lost.
He took Harry Kane off the field in a stroke of genius?
I was...
Of course you did, because Tuchel's not a great coach.
I was wondering about that, too. I don't think that was a good move.
Tuchel's linked to Man United and AC Milan right now. I don't think he sucks. I just think Tuchel is really bang average. But for whatever reason, he's treated like an elite. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's up for the Man United and AC Milan jobs. And I'm like, why?
How many coaches are there who have been to multiple Champions League finals that are available? There's not that many.
But with Tuchel, I mean, if you're managing PSG, you just got to get out of their way.
This is the funny... That's the funny thing. Like...
You tell me.
You're discounting. You have a confirmation bias.
Tell me about Chelsea's style of play. Tell me about PSG's style of play. Tell me about Bayern's style of play. About his tactics makes his team successful? Can you tell me?
How many coaches can you name that have that distinct tactical styles? He's like a, you know, he's a man manager. He's like,
Is he a good man manager? He fights with his, he's always fighting with his boards all the time. Look at Goretzka and Kimmich this year. I mean, he didn't get along with them either, I don't think.
It's his fault that they're not, that Goretzka can't defend. That's his fault.
He's their head coach. Shouldn't he bring him to life?
You have a confirmation. You don't like the guy, which is fine. Don't like the guy, but you have a confirmation by anything that he's achieved is in spite of him. It's like you. It's like American U.S.
Everything
national team
he's
fans.
Achieved. He's won one title.
You were like, oh, he made the Champions League final with PSG. Just had to get out of the way. But if anything goes wrong, it's his fault.
How many titles has he won as a professional coach?
Multiple. I don't.
I think just the one. Look, I think just the I think just the Chelsea Champions League title. What else has he won?
I mean, he's won the French league. With
I guess he won the French league title, but that doesn't count. That you really have to get out of the way for. Although Lille did win it around that time, maybe the year after that. I'm not saying Tuchel's a bad coach, but Oliver Glasner and Urs Fischer Streich, these guys are better coaches, in my opinion. But none of them are going to Manchester United. None of them are going to AC Milan.
No, Christian Streich is done. He's retiring.
Yeah, but how much better than Christian Streich do you think Thomas Tuchel is?
I mean, by what you know, like how much better a person
as a coach? Do you think Thomas Reis would just be outclassed and outcoached by Thomas Tuchel? Thomas is just way too much.
If Thomas Reis would manage PSG, I think he probably would also win the.
I agree. I'd go to the final. They never won. He'd win the league.
Win the final. Yeah.
So I'm saying, I think
it's like, but I mean, it's also all right for you to just not like the guy. Be at peace with just not liking the guy. You don't have to find reasons.
I don't like him. Now let's set that aside, and you tell me. Why did he take Harry Kane off in the 84th minute?
Well, because he wanted somebody, he wanted Choupo-Moting to be a little bit more active in the press. And he thought that he was, you know, just protecting a result. I didn't agree with that either. But, like, you know, there's nobody's perfect.
They needed goals. They took Harry Kane off. I mean, for crying out loud, that's
no, F. They didn't need goals at that point. They had a 1-0 lead. They were protecting a lead. So.
But they were very close to.
I didn't think they should do that when there's the possibility of overtime. I think you got to keep him. I agree. But
he made a risk and it failed.
Okay, here's the list of of Champions League winning coaches over the last 10 years. We have Pep Guardiola, Carlo Ancelotti, Thomas Tuchel, Hansi Flick, Jurgen Klopp, Zinedine Zidane, 3 times, Luis Enrique, Carlo Ancelotti again, Jupp Heynckes, 2013. You know, not a lot of these are
Thomas
available
Tuchel's
for
the worst
hire.
Of the bunch. He's the worst of the bunch you just listed. Defend every single one of those guys.
Hansi Flick is also unemployed.
Yeah, I think there's room, but that's a whole other thing. Who's Bayern's new coach? Hansi Flick is still being rumored, but him and Hernes, I think, burnt a bridge because Hernes burned everybody's bridges. But of all those, like, Hansi Flick is not an experienced X's and O's guy. But as far as a man manager, he was a horse whisperer when he took over at Bayern.
He did great in Bayern, but then he did not so well with the
German
national team.
No,
I'm just saying there's not that many. That's why he's considered an elite guy. Like, there's not that many of these guys are for hire. So. That's why he's talked about as an elite coach, because there's not that many. Zinedine Zidane is not available. Pep Guardiola is not available. Jurgen Klopp's not available.
He also got that Chelsea job. Like, when he got the Chelsea job, it was after he was ousted at Dortmund for not winning any titles. So he's or was it no? It was PSG came first?
Just be all right with not liking him. Don't need reasons. You don't need reasons.
All right. I do need reasons. I'm curious as to why he's linked with the big jobs, but plenty of other coaches are not linked with the big
jobs.
That's
why.
I'm just curious.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Anywho, Bayern München failed.
Any other complaints?
Bayern München failed. I'm not blaming Thomas Tuchel for Bayern's failure.
I know this is a big difference. If he had made the final, that would have made definitely upped his job prospects considerably. Yeah. I mean,
if Thomas Tuchel, fair or not,
like that's where you know these Champions League results are disproportionately important. Like it's only a few games, the sample size is small. There's a lot of luck involved. It's small margins, but whatever happens has an impact on your career.
How about this? If Thomas Tuchel won the Champions League with Bayern München, I would say Bayern München should have done whatever it takes to keep Thomas Tuchel as manager, because I do believe in earning. Yeah, believe in earning your keep.
Even though you don't like the guy,
He won the Champions League title with them. He won the title. He deserves another season to figure out what's going on. We just needed more time. I don't really know what happened. There was some weirdness in February when they were losing a lot, and then Tuchel had to announce he's stepping down.
I guess I gotta dig in then again. What if you? So like because Neuer like drops that ball, that's the difference between him should do whatever they can to keep him versus they got to run him out of town immediately.
No, that's a different thing. Neuer dropped the ball and lost the game. That's not on Tuchel. But if he had won,
I mean, you can say
it could be a giant steaming pile of crap in a suit. I don't care who it is. But if you win the Champions League with your team, that club should not forcibly oust you that summer, right? Name any precedents where that's ever happened.
Okay. Yeah. No, I think that's fair.
If you earn your title, you get your keep.
But I mean, I guess that happened with Jupp Heynckes too. He didn't. He wasn't like you know. Yeah, he was. Yeah, he had already decided to leave. It wasn't like they already signed
Pep. That was a little bit of a different circumstance.
Yeah,
but that's so another thing.
But it's not totally unprecedented. It's not like anyway. But yeah,
like when Claudio Ranieri won the Premier League with Leicester City, they sacked him the next year. Remember that? They sacked him three quarters to the next season because they were losing. And it's like, dude, that's coach for life, man. That's coach for life.
No such thing.
I don't know. I guess that's also my philosophy. If you earn titles, you get to earn your stay a little bit.
What have you done for me this week?
This week. Maybe give it 5 years. How about that? I'll give you 5 years. I mean, where's Leicester now? Aren't they in the championship futzing around?
They just made their way back up. But going right back, though. Yeah, they came
back. They won the Premier League title. I mean, he should have been given... They need to build a statue of that man out front of that stadium. But anywho, so Bayern are out. But Dortmund are through. They can still win the Champions League. They're definitely going in as underdogs, right? You got to give this one to Real Madrid, right? I hope Borussia Dortmund already. I would love for them to do the smash and grab. But I don't know. Is it wrong for me that in my heart, I know that would be wrong? If Borussia Dortmund won the Champions League this year,
it would be wrong, like undeserved.
There's sixth place in the Bundesliga. They had a very blessed season,
It does not happen all that often, right? Like that is a thing, definitely in the Champions League. There's not a lot of Cinderella stories. Again, you know, reading you the coaches. It's Man City, Real Madrid, Chelsea, right. Bayern,
it's all the regulars.
Real Madrid. Yeah, it's the regular. So this does not happen. I think really the last time...
Porto, maybe.
2004, I think that was
the birth of Jose Mourinho.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think what other Cinderella stories we have in the Champions League. Yeah, I can't think of too many.
You can. I mean, it's kind of like the World Cup that way. You get some teams make it to the semis or even the final sometimes, but like they don't usually win. So
right.
I think
the Ajax Tottenham year. What was that? 2 or 3 years ago, right? The Erik ten Hag season. Either Ajax or Tottenham made the final that year. Am I right? Am I remembering this right?
What?
Ajax Amsterdam year. When Ajax Amsterdam made the semis under Erik ten Hag?
2 years ago, wasn't it? Or like...
Yeah, but then Tottenham beat them and Tottenham made it to the final, right? And then Tottenham lost to Real Madrid, I think is what happened that year. If my memory serves.
Hold on. You say something.
That year is the last sort of... Because Ajax Amsterdam making it to the semis was also quite the Cinderella run, I think, that year. But yeah, winners, like World Cup, there's no fluke winners. The Euros has had that with Greece and arguably one or two, maybe Portugal in 2016 was a little weird. You know, Copa America has that Gold Cup out. Canada won it in 2000. The Canada's bench. You know, but as far as the World Cup, there's never been an undeserved winner. The winner's always been deserved.
Right, pretty much.
But there have been teams that have made
the final. Or it's Italy. Sure. Or if nobody really wants stands it, out, Italy then take Italy it. Takes
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Italy will take it. But yeah, Champions League's like that too. It's just when Real Madrid won it 3 years in a row, I mean, they were invincible, you know.
Yeah, so, but, I mean, history certainly speaks to Real Madrid taking this pretty handily.
I predict Real Madrid to win, and Borussia Dortmund had themselves a silver medal, a fun run to the final, unexpected. I think that's the way it's supposed to go.
That's also apparently the smart financial move for them is to lose, because of the... I meant to bring this up because of a clause in whose contract? Jude Bellingham's contract. If he wins the Champions League with Real Madrid this season, Dortmund will get an extra payment, which would make up for what they would lose by losing the final. So somebody was saying how if they win the final, they get 20 million euros. If they lose the final, they get 25 million euros. So... So
that sounds like the plot of a comedy.
It's the smart financial decision for Dortmund to lose the final. So if they do in fact lose, then we will all have some conspiracy theories about. It's all about money.
And we've learned that Borussia. What does Borussia Dortmund care more about? Titles or the bottom line?
Oh, it's always the bottom line.
It's the bottom line.
So in this case, they're going to. They're not going to win this game.
Vatska's having a team meeting.
I just hate feeling bad for Bayern. I just don't like it. It's like, help it in this case. In this case, I was like, and I don't like it. I don't like feeling bad for them. I've spent a lot of time rooting against them in the past. Right. And so I do not like this emotion.
That's the thing about big clubs. They serve two purposes. Domestically, they're the bad guys. But then when they leave the country, they rep you. They're your reps. So they fight for the country on the bigger stage. And Bayern München is an example of that. In the league, sure, they're the big bad devils. But fighting Real Madrid and Barcelona, Man City and Liverpool, that's our boys. That's Bayern Munich getting in there for us. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That's their job. There are the fans. Now, this is a good topic of conversation because it's also brought up in the CONCACAF Champions League recently. There are fans that will never root for a club that isn't theirs. So... I'm what I just described. I root for Bayern elsewhere, but I also root for them domestically. But for other people, Bayern, you know, they serve as the representatives of their country. But there's also another type of fandom, which I guess is totally legit, is that they never root for, it's not their club. So
for
they
a different
care
team.
Less.
They yeah, care I think less. I respect that too. I mean, I think with Bayern, I generally... I felt bad for them when they lost that penalty kick.
Against Chelsea. Oh, that's burning
in their own mind. in their own stadium. That was
after dominating 120 minutes.
That was
game, too.
I felt bad. I felt bad for them then.
That's a fluke title winner.
In general, I don't really, you know, I don't root for them necessarily. I don't root. I mean, it sort of depends. It's case by case for me. I don't have a general policy.
In the world of soccer and the elite clubs, right, the AC Milans or Juventuses or your Inter Milans and Man United and Arsenal, there's really only one German club in that group, and it's Bayern Munich. And they always, whenever they play Arsenals and, you know, especially with the English bias here in this country, or when I lived in South America, the huge bias towards Real Madrid and Barcelona, I loved it when Bayern Munich just beat the crap out of Real Madrid, you know, or beat the crap out of Arsenal or your Man United or your Man City.
Yeah, I don't know. For sure.
I'm like, take it, eat it.
I mean, with the MLS teams, I don't know. I thought it was fun when the Philly Union got their asses handed to them in the. I don't root for them.
Well, Were you rooting for Columbus Crew?
Definitely, but I think that's a likable team too. Yeah, I think it's not just blind. I'm not just I'm anti Mexico or whatever. I like Tigres too. It all depends. The Union. Can lose every game, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, that's a different thing. That's personal. You know, when Columbus Crew offends you, then maybe you'll have a different opinion. But yeah, I think Bayern Munich serves that for a lot of people. But there are definitely the hardcores who are like, nah, if it ain't my club, I don't care.
Right.
So, but also, I mean, the other thing is there's a partnership. I know the bulk of Bayern partnership, you don't buy into it, but that is a real partnership.
Yeah.
When I went to Nuremberg, they played Schalke, and the Nuremberg and the Schalke fans have a partnership. So it's always a big sort of peaceful time between the two of them.
Right.
I don't know. Fan groups get along. So the politics.
People have different policies with that kind of thing. And it's like, you know, anybody does. There's no, obviously, I'm not prescriptive. I'm not telling anybody how to do it. You have a very flexible allegiance. You have flexible allegiances. That's fine.
Are you sure? You keep bringing it up a lot.
I mean, I maybe gently make fun, but that's okay.
But in my defense, nevertheless, I really only have one allegiance, to be honest. It's the New York Rebels. In Germany, it was Bayern, but they were the victims of their own success. And eventually, I have to see the forest for the trees. I have to be like, what's going on with Deutsches Fußball? You know what I mean? That sort of became more important to me than Bayern München winning each and every single game.
Yeah, all right.
And I'll be honest with you, I'm a Bayern München fan, but I love that they're ending a season with no titles. It's good for them. I was just
I think that's if you're really a fan of the team, that's crazy.
No, I disagree.
That's crazy to me.
No, and this is why. In anthropology, we discussed medical anthropology or evolutionary medicine. And what that means is when you have a fever, is that a good thing or a bad thing, Bjorn, if you have a fever?
It's good. It's your body trying to get rid of disease.
It's raising your temperature temporarily, okay, because it will kill you eventually.
Right.
To kill all the infections or whatever. What's it called? To kill everything else. Kill all the bad stuff. Bacteria and the pathogens is the word I was looking for. Kill all your pathogens.
Okay.
And then when it's done, you go back down to regular so you can move on with your day. It would be unwise to take an anti-fever medicine. It would be unwise.
I agree with that. I do not like to take those.
And the reason I bring that up is because you look at Bayern Munich. And I talked to the fan of this here in L.A. He agreed. He's like, it's good for Bayern if another team is better than us. It keeps us honest. And for Bayern Munich to lose and to stumble upon themselves is how you learn. All right? Maybe you know what else we saw in that game? Oliver Kahn was sitting in the box. Did you see that? Oliver Kahn sitting there looking over the field. Maybe it's time to bring Oliver Kahn back. Maybe it's time to put your tail between your legs and fix yourself. Well, they're having a fever right now.
Tried to get Nagelsmann back. Well, but I think that's not a perfect analogy in that, you know, you're still sick. If you have a fever, you're still not enjoying it. It's like you're not like, I mean, yeah, intellectually you understand, oh yeah, my body is healing itself, but like at the same time you're still suffering. And I think as a fan of your team, if you're, you know, you suffer all these losses, yeah, maybe there's a part of you where you're intellectually saying, oh yeah, this is good for the game. But if you're a real fan, it still hurts, I think.
No, it hurt. Trust me, it hurt me. In a way, I'll always remember that Chelsea final, how depressed I was.
I mean,
it's nice to feel. And this weekend, it bummed me out. I'm like, well, there you go. I guess maybe a little more practical these days. But it really did bum me out. However, despite Borussia Dortmund going to the final and being the underdogs, there is one team with three games left. And they need to win all three games. And that team is Megakuzen. It's Bayer Leverkusen. They are they are going to destroy the Europa League. Or are they playing Atalanta?
Atalanta.
Forget it. Goodbye. Arrivederci. Arrivederci, Atalanta.
I mean, they had another crazy comeback. They were down 2.
I know.
I did not watch that game, but it looked crazy on paper.
2-0, 10 minutes left, and I was like, they're not going to do it again, are they? I have a feeling they will, and sure enough, they did.
Incredible.
2-2 by the end of the game. They can't lose. It's a 120-minute game for them, and they're in charge of every minute of it.
And then
over the weekend, so Bayer Leverkusen, thumbs up. Borussia Dortmund, underdogs, but let's go. Over the weekend, Bayer Leverkusen was supposed to lose against Bochum, but that story did not happen. The exact opposite.
Supposed to lose. Well, here we go. I got something.
Sprachgefühl.
Oh, hold on. Sorry. A problem? A technical problem?
Sprachgefühl.
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 Yeah, Sprachgefühl is that segment where we where we translate German words for you. And the word of the week is Wettbewerbsverzerrung. Wettbewerbsverzerrung. That's what was happening this weekend.
Let me try to break that down.
Wettbewerbsverzerrung.
All right. So,
and I wasn't the only one. I was not the only one.
That's four words in one.
I texted this. It's one word.
Yeah, but it's one of those four terms.
Just two words combined. And I said this word in the group in a group chat on the phone, and then somebody else said it on Twitter, and he said if you look up Wettbewerbsverzerrung in the German dictionary, you see a picture of this, and he posted a picture of the Dortmund starting 11 against Mainz. Wettbewerbsverzerrung. Wettbewerb is competition, contest, and Verzerrung is distortion. So basically, Wettbewerbsverzerrung means if there's something happening that basically distorts the value of the competition. And in this case, what I was complaining about,
they were rotating.
Was Dortmund lining up their second team against Mainz, because Mainz
won 3-0.
Mainz won 3-0, and if Dortmund had won that game, that would have been safety for Bochum even before they played their game against Leverkusen. But Dortmund lined up their second team, and they were very disinterested, and I think they were down 2 by like 20 minutes in. So this was not helpful to us. And then I had some hope on Sunday that we could maybe strike a similar deal with Neverlusen. Well, Union Berlin, Union Berlin was, that worked in our favor, that Köln made that comeback, because that worked out well for Bochum. And that was a crazy comeback that I did not anticipate. I thought we could make a deal with Neverlusen and maybe settle on a draw. That would help keep their streak alive and would get us to safety. But that did not happen. Felix Passlack, sort of puzzlingly, took down 15 minutes in a Leverkusen attacker. I don't know, 15 minutes in, you'd rather be a goal down than a man down, right? Wouldn't you say? If you had the choice.
Yeah, because especially against Leverkusen, they're holding the ball.
I thought that was a poor decision on his part to bring him. First of all, he still has to. I mean, obviously he was one-on-one with the goalie, but he still has to finish. I don't know. It's not 100% that he's definitely going to score. But even if he would, you would still rather, at 15 minutes in, a red card. That's just pretty damning. And up to that point, Bochum had looked lively, but obviously the wheels completely came off and we lost how many? Five nothing. Pretty sad game. So now we still, it's probably, we're hopefully safe. We need one more point. A point in Bremen means there, or we need either Union or Mainz to lose. One of them needs to lose for us to not be in the relegation playoff spot. I don't know. I mean, it would have been weird to not go to the last game.
If I can offer a defense to Borussia Dortmund, they played their bench last weekend as well.
Yeah, and they did well then.
And that bench destroyed. Who were they playing? They won 5-0. It was such a fun game to watch. It was Royce starting, and all these bench guys who haven't had the right minutes, but they're good players, just played with so much freedom.
Mm-hmm.
They destroyed 5-0.
Yeah, I was hoping for that again. I was hoping for that again, but that did not happen. So it was fun a week ago, and this week it was?
Not fun. And
Wettbewerbsverzerrung.
Wettbewerbsverzerrung.
There you go.
That'll be a tough one. Wettbewerbsverzerrung.
All right. Yeah, thank you for that. Very well done.
Sprachgefühl.
All right. Thank you.
But give it to Köln. I thought Köln were dead and dusted. Technically, they could still make the playoff relegation spot next week, which blows my mind. They're only 3 points off.
Technically, they can still. Well, no, actually.
What if, Bjorn, Bochum, Köln, and Mainz all make it this year? That's the Schnitzel Boys miracle. And Union Berlin go bye-bye. They were in the Champions League against Real Madrid in the fall, and now they're going to go back to the second division.
That'd be crazy, yeah.
You bought too many players, not enough players to gel.
And they're playing Freiburg, who are still trying to get into Europe, so they're not going to roll over, presumably.
And that's a home game, and that's Christian Streich's last game. He's going to win that game.
No, it's a home game for Freiburg.
I mean,
no, home game right? for Union. Yeah.
Oh, well, okay, well, never mind. But it's Christian Streich's last game, so I don't know.
That one only, even if it's Union not winning, that would be good enough for us. So hopefully.
Salvage Fingers operation. Crossed. Will there be? There's 1 week left this weekend. Will the Schitzel Boys miracle pull off? Where Köln, Mainz, and Bochum are on the safe zone. With Köln being in the relegation spot, only time will tell. Let's see if it's time.
Köln has to make up 3 goals. They need Union to lose, and then they still have to make up 3 goals.
But the goals that Union Berlin let in also, right? It adds to the equation.
Yeah, but I mean, they have more
so
goals.
So it's a 1-0 win and so a 2-0 loss.
Between the two of them, 4 goals. Between the two games, they have to make up 4 goals. So they
2-0 for Köln, 0-2 for Union Berlin.
Yeah, that would do it. That would do it.
And it's possible. The Schitzel Boys miracle is possible. Let's pray for
That's true.
So, okay, and then the last bit of news is the German. I don't know why. Is this only in Germany? They like the full roster is still like 2 weeks away.
Yeah, they announce it in dribs and drabs. I don't think that's always been the case. Yeah,
Pavlovich is going. Nico Schlotterbeck is going apparently. And is Goretzka going? I don't know. I think Goretzka is about to be dropped.
Goretzka, it seems like, is not going. And he shouldn't go, honestly.
Right, he hasn't been playing.
He hasn't been playing. He has not been good. He doesn't really have a spot in this new Toni Kroos midfield.
Kroos, Andrejk, and Pascal Gross and Pavlovich.
Yeah.
Those are sort of your 4 holding mids kind of you got.
I mean, Pavlovich, so we need Goretzka. Pavlovich is I mean, that's kind of... He played really well against Madrid, so hopefully. But, like, that's still a bit of a... I mean, he's not going to start. He's not going to start, most likely.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, Goretzka doesn't really have a... There's really no room for him. I'm a little surprised. I guess the Schlotterbeck, you know, the Champions League final helped him.
I don't know about Nico, man.
I mean, he's been much better. He doesn't seem as insane as he used to be. But that's a surprise. He has not been in the squad for a while, so I thought that he was probably not going. But yeah, that's kind of it. That's kind of what we... I mean, Jonathan Tah and Toni Rüdiger are the starters at center backs. That's pretty... There's no funny stuff there.
Let's talk out the starting lineup against... Who's our first game, Scotland or Hungary?
Scotland, yeah.
All right, so it'll be Noy on the back. Tah and Rüdiger is a back two. Kimmich at the right, and then who's on the left?
Yeah, we don't know.
It's
really.
What's his face? What's his face on the left? What's his name?
What do you mean?
RB Leipzig.
Who, David Raum? I don't think we necessarily know that.
Let's make an educated guess. Who do we think's on the left?
I think that's the spot that's a bit of a question mark. It could be
Schlotterbeck?
Raum. We have seen Mittelstädt recently.
It's Mittelstädt. Thank you. It's Mittelstädt. The guy from Stuttgart, right? It's Mittelstädt.
I mean, but is he the, like, you got him like written in?
I'm making a risk analysis. I think it's Mittelstädt because Stuttgart's hot. He's getting the hot guys.
Yeah, I think it's
holding
it's
back.
Andrich Kroos and Gundogan are the midfield. Yeah, and then it's
Kai Havertz over what's his face?
Havertz over Füllkrug, maybe has been
Musiala
and
then
Sané. Musiala is either Musiala, Wirtz, Sané. I don't know, two of those three.
Yeah, you're right. Wirtz over Musiala, Wirtz, Sané, Kai Havertz. I think that's what we got.
Wirtz has not been playing. He's got a little bit of a knock, so that might make a difference. So I don't know. We don't know exactly. Serge Gnabry is out of the Euros. He's injured. He picked up an injury again, and so he's not gonna. He's
also a bad soccer player, make the right? Team. You don't bring bad soccer players to the Euros, do you?
I mean, he was a bad soccer. That's harsh. It's.
I called Alexi Lalas before. I called.
He's. Wow. That's I don't know.
You tell me what has he done that's been so great in the last 2 years?
He's been a lot. He's been injured a lot. I don't know.
Serge Gnabry was tippy top. What, he scored 4 goals against Tottenham?
Okay, amazing. He's been on the bubble. I don't think he was going to make the squad for sure, but he's not making it because he's hurt.
The minute he started dating that fashion girl from Paris, it ended for Gnabry.
Oh my God.
Back when he was focused, he scored 4 goals against Tottenham or Arsenal, wherever he scored against.
Is that why
he was the best player? He was the best German player.
Like, is that why you don't like Tuchel? Because he left his wife and has a.
Did he? I don't know anything about his personal life.
You don't even know this. Okay.
So no. I don't know anything about his personal life.
So, yeah, I think that's where we're at with the lineup. And so the question, yeah, the biggest question marks are left back, the number 9, I guess. I still like Füllkrug.
I do too, but
as a 9. But
if I was a betting man, Kai Havertz gets the start.
Yeah,
over him.
I think you might be right about that. And
then I think Mittelstädt's getting that left back spot. I think it's his to lose right now.
Probably right. And then like I said, Wirtz, Musiala, Sané.
Wirtz plays over Musiala, I think.
If he's healthy, maybe.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, we did it.
We did it.
Cheers. Yeah, USA Hour. Did Nick Cushing punch a kid?
Tunnelgate. Did our coach hit somebody? Really?
I don't know. For whatever reason, in a very busy stadium, there's no people or cameras anywhere nearby to confirm or deny.
John Hurtman has explanations for this.
Well, let's hear it. All right, we'll see you next week or next time. Will the Schitzel Boys miracle happen? Will Borussia Dortmund win the UEFA Champions League? Will Bayer Leverkusen win the treble?
Spoiler alert, no, yes.
Okay. All right, tschüss.
Mach's gut.
What's it called again? Wettbetreib. What's that again?
Wettbewerbsverzerrung.
Wettbewerbsverzerrung.